from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Joshua Johnson. Vallejo city officials estimate about $5 million of damage to clean up from this weekend's earthquake. Buildings downtown and on Mare Island were damaged. One building with eight residential units has had to be evacuated. Windows blew out of storefronts, including at a music store in Vallejo. The store's manager, Shayna Keller, says she moved to the Bay Area just after the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989. Keller says she has experienced small shakers, but nothing like this.
I was worried. My house is really old. It's a 1940s house, and it felt like it was going to flip over. You know, it was very scary.
Schools in Vallejo City Unified are open today. There is also a Red Cross shelter set up in the Florence Douglas Center. That's at 333 Amador Street. Meanwhile, the U.S. Geological Survey is warning that an intense aftershock could happen in the area of the quake over the next few days, but the chances of that are diminishing as time goes on. Scientists are trying to learn more about the fault line where Sunday's earthquake occurred. They're focusing on the small West Napa Fault. Brad Aggard is a geophysicist with the USGS based in Menlo Park. He spoke with KQED senior science editor Andrea Kissick about what experts know so far.
The West Napa Fault is a fault that's mapped primarily directly west of the city of Napa along the edge of the foothills. And as you go further south into the region of the magnitude 6 earthquake, its expression at the surface becomes much less. And so we don't yet know whether this earthquake occurred on the West Napa Fault or just in its vicinity on a smaller structure.
Are there other dormant, little-known faults in the area, and does this quake change the way you're looking at these less-known, smaller faults?
So throughout the San Francisco Bay Area, we are sort of in the middle of the San Andreas Fault system. So even the Hayward-Rogers Creek Fault on the east side of the bay is really considered part of the San Andreas Fault system, and there's a lot of smaller structures that link these faults together and fill in gaps. And so we can have magnitude 6 earthquakes on any of these smaller structures, but we would not expect sort of magnitude 7 earthquakes. We would expect those on our primary faults, such as the San Andreas Fault and the Hayward-Rogers Creek Fault.
What kind of quake was this? Can you tell me more about the mechanics of it?
So throughout the Bay Area, most of our faults are strike-slip faults, where the one side of the fault moves laterally relative to the other side. And this is a result of our plate boundary here along the San Andreas Fault system, with the Pacific plate moving to the north relative to the North American plate.
The USGS characterized this as a violent shaking quake, but reports from near the epicenter really varied. Some people in American Canyon described only a moderate shaking. Why would there be such disparities?
So the level of shaking is really controlled by the local ground conditions and precisely where you are relative to where the earthquake is. Locations closer into sort of sediments, central parts of the river valleys, where the soil material is softer, so it tends to amplify the shaking. If you're out in the hills, especially if you're on sort of hard bedrock, you tend to have more rigid material underneath you, and so that's going to cause a different lower amplitude of shaking. Also, in this particular earthquake, depending on, because it was a strike slip, the energy tends to be focused along the fault. So if you're even just a few miles perpendicular to the fault, you can have very different shaking than you are if you're aligned with the fault.
This is the largest quake to hit the Bay Area in 25 years. How much stronger was the Loma Prieta quake, and what were the similarities and differences between these two?
So the Loma Prieta earthquake was a magnitude 6.9 event. And even though it occurred down in the Santa Cruz Mountains, closer to Santa Cruz, it did cause damage in San Francisco and Oakland. And that it was the Oakland area where most of the loss of life was. And so, you know, that sort of gives you the difference in scale between a magnitude 6.9, which is releases nearly 30 times more energy than a magnitude 6.0 earthquake. We're seeing most of the damage in this magnitude 6 earthquake concentrated within about 10 kilometers or 6 miles of where the earthquake occurred, and that's sort of consistent with this smaller-sized event.
There is an early warning system being piloted in California. How did it measure up in this quake?
The early warning system worked in this case. The prototype would have provided 10 seconds of warning in the San Francisco area, And that few seconds of warning is very important for people to be able to take action, such as do drop, cover, and hold on before the strong shaking hits them. If you're closer to the earthquake, you have less warning, and so it's a reminder that people need to be prepared to immediately take action, doing the drop, cover, and hold on when they feel shaking from an earthquake.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brad Aggard is a geophysicist with the U.S. Geological Survey based in Menlo Park. He spoke with KQED senior science editor Andrea Kissick. I'm Joshua Johnson. You'll find more coverage of the South Napa quake online at kqed.org/science.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.